The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Hey, I got a comment on one of your stories that you just had.
Yeah?
And I have a message for Vegas. MGM and whatever other companies
are involved. When are you going?
It's not important. Get this thing settled, okay?
Seriously.
I want them settled. I remember when I was in my 20s, I went to Vegas. And there was a hotel. Gosh, I'm trying to think what's there now. Because there's Mirage and then Treasure Island and then Fashion Show Mall. And I think it was right on the other side of the Fashion Show Mall.
It's not one of the Wynn hotels.
It might be the Trump.
Oh.
Might be the
yeah,
Trump. Is,
which I stayed in.
It used to be, yeah, because you like supporting our president.
I like the hotel.
Right. That's what I meant. And it was the site of the Frontier Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And I went down there in my 20s, and they had people in a little hut and a big loudspeaker and bullhorn, and they were chanting. I went down 6 years later. Still, they were out striking.
Oh, no.
The strike went for 6.5 years at the Frontier. So
That's kind of sad.
It's yeah, it was really
Wynn.
Sad. What?
It's the Wynn now.
I thought it was one of the Wynn. Yeah, yeah.
It was the front? Maybe it wasn't the Frontier then. Maybe it wasn't the Frontier.
Hmm.
I don't remember. Anyway, okay. Whatever. But it was a 6.5 year strike down there. So I just want them to get this thing settled because I might be going back sometime in the next few months.
I know. I was thinking about it at the end of June, and it says here the strike could start anytime after June 1st.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
That's not good at all. So get to the table and get this thing settled. That's my message.
So Dory can get to the table.
No. You know me. I just like laying by the pool.
Yes.
That's all I do. I like sunning my godlike body. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites. No, let's get to the big lead. Crying out
loud.
The
big lead. Top story.
Oh, by the way, we will have an update in moments on our Jay Inslee versus Donald Trump 2020 polling. Already, I'm starting to hear from most of the political pundits who are going to want to talk to us. The McLaughlin Group, C-SPAN is interested. Everybody. Who else? Politico. Politico wants to talk to us about Trump versus Inslee. Who else is big-time player in the political media world? Am I missing anybody?
Are you deliberately saying no?
Washington Post.
Washington Post.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping this will go viral.
New York Times.
This is the first Trump versus Inslee poll that we are doing right now. And so I'm hoping that it'll attract a lot of national attention. That's my only hope and dream of this. We got a lot of other stuff to get to, though, and including some very serious news. Everybody is still talking about that cougar attack. And it, you know, we talked to the guy from Fish and Wildlife yesterday, and he gave us a description of what went down. But we do today have the 911 calls. And again, these were two bikers, mountain bikers. They were friends. The first guy was attacked. Cougar had his head in his jaw, they told us. But then somehow, for some reason, the cougar let him go. He was pretty badly injured. And his friend ran off. That triggered a stalking instinct in the cougar, and the cougar chased his friend. So the first victim had to jump on his bike, ride until he could get cell service. And here's the 911 dispatcher on the line with the surviving member of this duo, Isaac Setterbaum.
I'm so worried about my son.
Do you know where, how far out he is from where you are?
Most 5 miles.
Okay.
About 7 miles from the...
He's
behind a gate.
He's behind a gate. Do you know, like, if it was, like, a trailhead that you started at, or...
It's on logging road.
And this guy, Isaac, flagged down a guy who's driving in a truck, and that good Samaritan also talked about the injuries with the dispatcher.
So is he conscious right now?
He's conscious, yeah. He's got some pretty serious lacerations on his face and head. He's bleeding pretty well covered with blood. Do you have any other... Your shirt's stretched. Okay. Yeah, it looks like mostly on his face and head.
Okay.
So just chill out, buddy.
Okay. So I want you to see if you can just try to control that bleeding as much as possible. So, like, keep it, like, take a cloth or a towel or a shirt if he has one and, like, wrap it and, like, try to keep pressure on those wounds to try to control the bleeding as much as possible, okay?
Yep.
I was thinking about that Good Samaritan. Just the idea of a Saturday morning, you're driving for whatever reason in this remote forest land, and all of a sudden, a guy whose head is all bloody is waving his arms frantically to flag you down. And, you know, there might be some people who would be inclined to, I'm not getting involved. I don't know what this is, but I'm not getting involved.
Well, if you live out there, I'm guessing you would figure that someone has been
attacked.
By the wildlife. I mean,
yeah. But the Good Samaritan tried to comfort Isaac.
He sounded so calm, too. It just was very comforting to hear him.
The Good Samaritan is with Isaac, who survived. It's the friend who is miles away that they had not found yet.
He's not gushing blood right now.
Okay,
he's not bleeding,
okay.
But he is starting to feel some pain.
Okay.
And his adrenaline might be starting to wear off. They're sending someone, Isaac. They're having a hard time finding us. They're having a hard time figuring out where we are.
He's letting Isaac know because they were in such a remote area, and then Isaac got back on the line.
It hurts.
I know, but you're doing a really great job staying calm there. We're trying to, you know, give you all the help that you need there. I think I told the people who are with you, I want to make sure that you're keeping pressure on your wounds to try to control the bleeding. They said it was slowing down, so that's good. We like to see that.
The ambulance is here.
The ambulance is there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to let you go so you can talk to them, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Bye.
I also want to say something about that 911 dispatcher, because so often we've heard similar calls where the dispatcher is a little brusque, short patience. This gal was fantastic. Mm-hmm. She was just she was comforting. You hear that she's typing furiously, getting info. While she's doing that, she's telling the Good Samaritan to put pressure on the wounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's doing about five things at once. She's trying to get the emergency vehicles in their vicinity, and she's comforting to the guy. She's instructive to the Samaritan. I just thought she was wonderful throughout that call. So very sad story.
It's such a sad story, and I can only imagine that the survivor, you know, feels tremendous. I mean, not just the trauma and the pain that he's dealing with, but this guilt and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's just, it's horrific.
And as I said yesterday, what could be more wholesome than getting up early on a Saturday morning and going mountain biking out in nature? And to go from that heaven on earth to hell on earth, it's just a terrible story. But, man, that 911 dispatcher was absolutely fantastic. And the Good Samaritan, some great, great people out there. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Yes, we do have an exclusive because Jay Inslee is fueling speculation that he wants to be the 2020 Democratic Party nominee for President of the United States of America. And the reason the speculation is heating up is he's going to headline a big Democratic fundraising dinner next month in Iowa. He's going to speak at the Iowa Democratic Party annual Hall of Fame celebration. It's in Altoona. I didn't even know that we could have tuna that far inland. But in Altoona, Iowa, he's going to speak. And they say that this could be a prelude to him wanting to be the next president or the next nominee of the Democratic Party, because Iowa has an outsized influence because it's the first of the caucuses. So Jay Inslee wants to be president. I mean, I've known that. I've told you that for years, that everything he was doing was laying the groundwork for wanting to run for president. And so we decided today to launch the first 2020 Inslee versus Trump poll. Unscientific poll. But we headed up on text where we got hundreds and hundreds of votes. And then we moved it to Twitter on my personal Twitter, at Dori Monson, DoriMonson, and also at Dori Monson Show. So I've been doing a little tabulating on the text machine. We had about 800 votes. On Twitter combined, we have 500 votes. So we've got about 1,300 votes right now. That's a pretty representative sample. And right now, it's running Trump 79%, Inslee 21%. In Jay Inslee's home state, almost 4-1 Trump. Now, it's listeners to my show, which might skew things a tiny bit. But as I said, I welcome all. I embrace all. I love all. Jay Inslee wants to be president. I wonder if he'd win Washington against Trump. I'm telling you this. You know, I like Inslee personally. I do. He and I have teamed up on, you know, one of the most fun events our show's ever done. But Trump would love running against Inslee. He would thrive running against Inslee. But hey, Democrats, make Inslee your nominee. I think that'd be awesome for your party, because he'll do something with net neutrality and green jobs. That's the only thing I ever hear him talking about. Net neutrality and green jobs. He was on MSNBC last week, and he said, oh, yeah, I've already made Washington the greatest state in the union, so why not go to the other Washington?
We have proven that when you have good, honest, fair, progressive values of an openness, welcoming community, if you take care of your clean air, clean water,
yep,
if you make big investments in schools, if you focus on clean energy jobs, our clean energy jobs are growing twice as fast as the U.S. economy. What do you get when you have this suite of progressive values? Net neutrality bills, we have the best paid family leave in the United States. You get the best economy in the country, and it sort of blows up this myth that fairness is somehow inimical to economic growth. So I think we are a model for the country, and we're also the most humble state in the nation.
I like it.
Inimical. So he talked about what a dreamland this is. He didn't mention the fact that if you leave anything in your car anywhere in Seattle for more than 12 seconds, your window will get smashed and it'll get stolen. He didn't mention that Seattle has the highest property crime rate by far of any of the 20 largest cities in the United States. He didn't mention the fact that we have heroin addicts everywhere in the city, that the progressive values have delivered to this region absolute gridlock, that Seattle's budget is about double the city budget of Boston, which is almost the exact same size. And with all of those extra billions of dollars in Seattle, we have some of the worst gridlock in the country. We have heroin addicts everywhere. We're planning to put in some heroin injection sites. Hey, by the way, hurry and get those open before Jay Inslee runs for president. I would love the rest of the country to see the wondrous example of heroin death sites in Seattle and King County and how that's worked out for our region. So he left all that out. He left out the traffic. He left out the worst property crime in the country. He left out the homelessness and bums and vagrants that are everywhere throughout the Puget Sound area, that we're the only city in the country that lets heroin and meth addicts use in our kids' parks and school playgrounds. He didn't mention the little boy in Everett who got pricked by a used needle at a park on Saturday. Didn't mention the fact that there's no other city in the world that tolerates letting drug addicts camp out on sidewalks and municipal tennis courts and kids' soccer fields. He didn't mention, but net neutrality, we got a net neutrality bill. So, thumbs up for me. He was silent through this head tax disaster. We have the highest taxation on businesses in our nation's history for creating jobs. So right now, the Dory Monson Show listeners have it. It's now moved 78-22, Trump over Inslee, if Inslee were to be the Democratic nominee. Unscientific poll, but there you go. The first poll between those two men. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
So we got the head tax now in Seattle. They're going to do this LID, which is a big, huge property tax assessment on people who live or own property near the downtown waterfront. They want $200 million for that. And the Seattle City Council just yesterday announced that they want to raise the property taxes. Lorena Gonzalez says, she told Q13, oh yeah, we're really great stewards of people's money.
There's a growing anger in the community saying that the city mismanaged money, not just when it comes to homelessness, but transportation and a lot of other issues. Mm-hmm. How can you bring back that accountability for the people?
Well, I mean, I think in this levy, as I mentioned before, we have had a high level of accountability, and we have shown the voters over and over again that we have been delivering on outcomes.
Whew, absolutely not true. I don't know if she's talking about the transportation levy or the homelessness levy, but we have the worst homelessness problem in the country. The more money we spend, the worse the problem has gotten. Transportation, Seattle Department of Transportation, says there's no way they can deliver what they promised to voters. And one of the other sponsors of this is the proven liar city council member. I mean, there are a lot of them, proven liars. But Rob Johnson is... he is fast approaching the Mike O'Brien, Kashama Sawant level of just sleazy, smarmy, greasy. But listen to him talk about raising people's property taxes even more. On average, they've already gone up 17% in the last year, but they want to add more, and this is why they're going to put it up to a vote this fall.
It's May. This is proposed to be on the ballot in November. A lot can change between now and then.
And listen to the colleagues. Yeah, they're going to forget. They're going to forget how we've screwed over this city by November. Just the smirking in the background.
A lot can change between now and then.
What do you mean by a lot can change?
Well, the angst and anger that you guys are talking about.
Okay, I got to stop it right there. Pay attention. He just said the angst and anger that you guys are talking about. His words, the angst and anger that you guys are talking about.
Today, on May the 21st, may not necessarily be the same as it is today in November.
So, how are you feeling about the angst and anger from the community? Are you hearing them?
Those are your guys' words. And so, you know, just...
those are your guys' words. You just said them 12 seconds ago. Oh, he's a sleazy guy.
Generally, I would say I was out at the farmer's market this weekend in the U District where we are every Saturday. And... now, I heard from a couple of folks who were really proud of the vote that we took a week ago, and I heard
really
from a couple
proud.
Of folks that had concerns. And generally, that's a pretty good bellwether of the community writ large.
They were really proud. Oh, I bet they were strutting like peacocks. You passed the head tax? Let me unfurl my tail feathers for you, Rob. Really proud of you. But that's what he's counting on. He thinks people are going to forget by November what screw-ups they are. Proven liar on the record. We've got the emails and the text messages to prove that Rob Johnson is a liar, and he is a smarmy guy. And that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
First, is going to check the news, then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Looking at the old clock on the wall, this would be a good time to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Ooh, big dispute back in New York, upstate New York, where a 30-year-old son lives with mom and dad. They're getting sick and tired of it. Christina and Mark Rotondo, they say they've been trying to get their 30-year-old son, Michael, to leave their home for several months. They've given him several written notices, and he refuses to leave. And the authorities say they cannot come. The cops can't come and kick him out because he's a family member. They said you have to go to court and get an official eviction notice, or it's called an ejectment proceeding. And so the kid won't leave mom and dad's little nest. And the local TV station up there got the opinions of the neighbors.
Number three.
Oh, he needs to get out.
Give his mother and father space, actually, because it's that time. He's 30. And then you're not paying rent or you're not, like, being independent. You got to be independent.
Yeah, neighbors are on mom and dad's side there.
I want to know if his mom's still doing his laundry, cleaning his room, and making meals.
Giving him written notices. I know.
Get
I hope, hope not. At number two, the Miss USA pageant last night, Carson Kressley was one of the commentators, and he had this analogy for winnowing it down from the final 15 to fewer contestants.
Number two.
Okay, Lou, I have some favorites. I mean, wow. It's like Sophie's Choice. They're all so good, but I think I can make some choices.
Yeah, it's exactly like Sophie's Choice. I cannot think of one difference between Sophie's Choice and the Miss USA pageant. If you can help me, go ahead and text me. Oh, also, one of the Miss USA contestants, she was asked this provocative question about the Boy Scouts.
Your question tonight comes from South Dakota.
Hi. The Boy Scouts recently decided to accept girls into their organization. Do you feel this is a positive change, and do you think that there is value in single-gender organizations?
I think this is a great change. I think we are in a time in America where, not America, we're at a time in the whole world where gender equality is a huge thing. I believe in 10, 20 years from now, women and men are going to be complete equals. And we are making those steps right now with the Boy Scouts. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And if you elect me Miss USA, I promise that I will take us to a genderless society where everybody's androgynous. That's my goal. That'll be my platform if you elect me. And then there was Miss South Dakota. I liked this answer, too.
South Dakota, please join us for your question. Your question tonight comes from Florida. From Nevada, excuse me, from Nevada.
Hey, girl. During the last presidential election, more than one-third of women neglected to exercise their right to vote. Why do you think that is?
You know, I'm not sure why that is. I think that women are perfectly capable of expressing how they feel.
Whoa. Well, that's kind of revolutionary. She thinks women are capable of expressing how they feel. Do you have any other radical ideas, sister?
And they should be able to vote. And
whoa! She thinks women should be able to vote. Holy smokes. We can't elect her Miss USA with those radical thoughts.
They should express that at the polls. And I think that we need to get out there as women and show that we are perfectly capable of doing that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and at number one, this kid, he was homeschooled, but it was through his local high school. He graduated summa cum laude. With a 4.89 GPA, 4.89, summa cum laude. So mom ordered a happy congratulations cake that said summa cum laude. But they ran it through their obscenity check, and when they opened the cake box when they got home, it said summa hyphen 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 laude. They decided the middle word was obscene. Oh, and the kid was humiliated.
Number one.
The cake experience was kind of frustrating and humiliating because I had to explain to my friends and family, like, what that meant, and they were giggling uncontrollably. At least my friends were.
Just goes to prove you can't have cum on your cake. Today's Science coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, still lots to do with today's edition of
Today's Sign, that the end is near.
Still muddy. Today's Sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, the Boy Scouts of America, who are not called the Boy Scouts anymore because they've been forced to become co-ed, which is a horrible idea, and I'm not the only one who thinks that. But I will tell you that this neutrality of genders, it's not serving anybody well. to feminize our boys and to masculinize our women is not a good, healthy thing for individual kids or for society. This notion that we should all be identical, all be alike when we have distinct biological differences is complete lunacy. But now that the Scouts are integrated for their upcoming jamboree, they have made a major announcement. The leadership of the Boy Scouts has mandated that condoms be readily and easily accessible for next year's World Scout Jamboree. They said that in their 2016 handbook, that's when they first put in this rule, and has nothing to do with the addition of girls to the Boy Scouts. They just think that, I don't know, Boy Scouts used to be based on real Christian principles, and now it's, I guess it's a free-for-all party when you go to the jamboree. It's like the Olympic athletes' village all of a sudden. And I want to share with you something Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs, something he posted on his Facebook page, because somebody asked him, he's a former Eagle Scout, or he's an Eagle Scout, not former. My daughter's brand new husband, he's an Eagle Scout. But once an Eagle Scout, always an Eagle Scout. I wasn't in scouting, but I know that. But anyway, a woman wrote in to Mike Rowe and asked him what he thought about adding girls to the Boy Scouts. And I just want to read to you what he wrote on his Facebook page. He said that scouting helped him grow in confidence, being exposed to risk, and instilling discipline. And he wrote, in Troop 16, merit badges reflected merit. There was a boxing ring where differences were often settled, monthly camping trips, frequent visits to the shooting range, weekly fitness tests, poetry readings from memory, and many other activities tailor-made to pull every kid out of his particular comfort zone. It was often humbling, but never humiliating. Failure was simply viewed as the most common symptom of trying. Consequently, the more I tried, the more I failed. The more I failed, the more I succeeded. The more I succeeded, the more confident I became. My grades improved in school. My stammer vanished, as did my awkwardness around girls. And then he said that there were 5 million active members in the Boy Scouts when he left scouting in 1979. Now there are 2.3 million, and with the Mormon Church pulling out, it's going to be under 2 million. Mike Rowe went on to write, this kind of attrition can only be explained by an increasing lack of relevance, or the perception of irrelevance. Unfortunately, in situations like this, there's no difference between perception and reality. And right now, there's a perception that the Boy Scouts have gone soft. That's the real tragedy, because I can't think of anything more needed in our country today than a youth organization that offers kids the same experience I underwent in the basement of Kenwood Church. Why? Because our country's current obsession with safe spaces is destroying character faster than the Boy Scouts of today can build it. Obviously, we want our kids protected from the hazards of a dangerous world. And clearly, the world we live in is a dangerous place, but safety is not the purpose of our existence. And this whole idea that kids need to be protected from fear, distress, discomfort, and disappointment is far more dangerous to the future of our country than anything I ever encountered in scouting. You can't build character in a safe space. You can only build dependence and entitlement, and you don't have to look very far to see the results. And he went on to say that he worries about the Boy Scouts same way he worries about the Girl Scouts. He says he wants the Boy Scouts to stand against the safe space movement. And let me read his last lines. That's a long way of saying that girls are not the enemy. The enemy is bad ideology and the inability to effectively confront it. Do I favor co-ed scouting? Hell no. I can't think of a single good reason to put girls and boys in the same troop, the same tent, the same boxing ring, or the same game of British Bulldog. But I can think of many good reasons to include them in a unified effort to confront the siren song of space, safe spaces. Someone has to challenge the insipid belief that safety is the most important part of living. Someone has to challenge the idea that feelings trump achievement. Someone has to challenge the idea that crying closets on campuses designed to console stressed out students who just can't handle their finals exams or the outcome of a presidential election will produce a responsible, productive adult. It's not enough to simply ignore bad ideas. The safe space movement needs to be confronted. And I'd love nothing more than to see scouts of both genders lead the charge. So that was from Mike Rowe, his take on what's going on with the scouts now. But if you kids are still in scouts, at least they'll give them condoms at the jamboree coming up. Finally, the mayor of Oakland, very upset still that President Trump called members of MS-13 gang, the illegals who commit these vile atrocities and rape little girls, murder teenage girls and boys. The mayor of Oakland, very upset that the president called them animals. Mayor Libby Scarf.
You know, this is a controversial thing. He's come under criticism for it, but he's owning it. Calling members of the violent MS-13 gang animals. Today, the White House tripled down on that. They actually put out a press release and they titled it, quote, "What You Need to Know About the Violent Animals of MS-13. The president has repeatedly stood by those words. You obviously have seen this. Is that a fair use of the word?
I believe that this president's language is racist. It is fear-mongering, and it is trying to distract the American people.
First of all, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with behavior. They murder, and they rape, and they control. It's based on their behavior that this gang is in the crosshairs, not because of their race. But go on, Madam Mayor.
From the job that elected officials are supposed to do, and that's improve the lives of the people that we represent, instead of casting blame and dispersion against a very vulnerable population.
Casting dispersion? What'd he do, dunk them in a tank of water and see how much float over the side of the tank? Can't blame dispersion. Yeah, it sounds like a real sharp mayor. Do any songs about animals by any chance back there? Well, he said about animals, but we'll take a song by the animals.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying.
Bruce Springsteen said every rock song comes out of this one.
Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true. You'll be dead before your time is due, I know.
How cool is this song still?
Watch my daddy in bed and crying. Watch his hand.
This song could be the music model for every illegal. They got to get out of whatever country they're in and sneak into the United States. This is their new theme song, I've decided.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me and you.
Well, you know what's coming next. I got to get out of here because I've run out of everything I have to say for today. But I'm going to go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's show. Ron and Don coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Watch my daddy in bed at time. Watch his hand.
There's been nobody ever better on the radio than me, and I mean that.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.